I wanted a career in which everything would matter. So I joined the CIA, and now I help protect our families, our friends, and every fellow American.
Find out how everything you do in your career can impact our nation. Visit CIA.gov/careers to learn more and apply.
Street King's got you covered with their huge tire sale blowout with 6 months same as cash on all tires. Brands you love like Nexen, Lexani, Predator, all in stock and ready. Get a set of four installed today for as little as $20 down and $20 per week. And you never need credit. Mention this ad and get 6 months same as cash. Rule the road for less at Street King. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. Coming up on this edition of the program, we have an interview with Sheriff Joe Bags. Joe is the host of the Rams Showcase podcast. The podcast is dedicated to highlighting Los Angeles Rams content. In the interview, we discuss the Rams winning the Super Bowl, also takeaways from the Rams game against the Buffalo Bills, the keys to victory for the Rams to beat the Atlanta Falcons in week two of the 2022 NFL season, and so much more. Plus, a preview of week two and week two's game picks. So definitely the interview with Joe is going to be outstanding. And, of course, preview some of week two's most important games in the National Football League. So it's definitely going to be exciting. Stay tuned for that. And speaking of so exciting, we definitely had an exciting week one in the National Football League, the 2022 season, that is. So let's get right to it. We start off with the kickoff opener between the Buffalo Bills went up against the defending champion Los Angeles Rams. The second half belonged to Buffalo. The Bills would beat the Rams 31-10. A close game in the Motor City between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Detroit Lions. The Eagles hold on to beat the Lions 38-35. It was rainy conditions in the Windy City, but the Chicago Bears hold on to beat the San Francisco 49ers 19-10. In overtime, you talk about kickers trading missed field goals, but in the end, Chris Boswell's 53-yard field goal gave the Pittsburgh Steelers the victory over the Cincinnati Bengals in overtime 23-20. The Miami Dolphins took care of the New England Patriots 20-7. In a very close game, Cade York kicked the game-winning field goal for the Cleveland Browns, giving Cleveland the win over the Carolina Panthers 26-24. The Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans battled to a tie. As they went to overtime, the game finished with the score being tied at 20. The New Orleans Saints pull off a close one, beating their NFC South rival Atlanta Falcons 27-26. The Baltimore Ravens had no problems as they beat the New York Jets 24-9. The Washington Commanders took care of the Jacksonville Jaguars 28-22. The Minnesota Vikings handled their business, beating Aaron Rodgers and their NFC North rival Green Bay Packers 23-7. In a very close game and an upset down in Music City, USA in Nashville, the New York Giants beat the Tennessee Titans 21-20. In an AFC West showdown between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Los Angeles Chargers, the Chargers hold on to beat the Raiders 24-19. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs handled their business as the Chiefs took care of the Arizona Cardinals 44-21. The Sunday night matchup saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beating the Dallas Cowboys 19-3. And on Monday Night Football, it was Russell Wilson making his return to Seattle as he quarterbacked his new team, the Denver Broncos, as they faced up against his former team, the Seattle Seahawks. A close game, but in the end, the Seahawks would beat the Broncos on Monday night. Final score, 17-16. And those were your scores from week one in the NFL. All right, it's time for my top three storylines. I want to start off with the Dallas Cowboys. Never a dull moment with the Dallas Cowboys. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The Dallas Cowboys are the soap opera that never ends. And Tampa Bay would beat the Cowboys in the first Sunday night football game of the year. Final score, 19-3. Of course, Dallas had their problems during the offseason, trading Amari Cooper, also losing some key players on their squad, such as some key offensive linemen, such as Lyle Collins, also losing Blake Jarwin, their tight end, also losing Ty Nsicki, also losing their linebacker, Keon O'Neill, just to name a few. And then to make matters worse, just before the start of the season, Tyron Smith, their offensive lineman, injury. So with losing all of these key players for their squad, Dak Prescott, in the Sunday night game against Tampa Bay, to add insult to injury, Prescott injured his right thumb late in the fourth quarter. Good news is that what was originally the injury, his designated time to return, was originally supposed to be 6 to 8 weeks, but he's only going to be sidelined for 4 weeks. So it looks as though he's going to be making his return for week 6 against the Philadelphia Eagles. But until then, Cooper Rush will be the starting quarterback for the next several weeks. So the next 4 games for the Cowboys will be Cincinnati, Giants, Washington, and the L.A. Rams. Now, those games, Cincinnati and L.A., those games are going to be tough. Giants and Commanders games, either way. But the bottom line is this. The Dallas Cowboys, it's never a dull moment with them. You've got the Prescott injury is going to be out for, they say, at least 4 weeks. And then CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb was targeted multiple times in this game. He only had 2 catches for just over 20 yards. I mean, that is not good at all. And then a lot of people are starting to question Dak receiving that big contract extension just 2 years ago. Is he really worth the money? Do they really need to move on from him? That's a question I'm sure that's going to be answered as we continue to go further into the season. But Dallas, it's already week 1, and the Cowboys already are making noise for all of the wrong reasons. And now they've got Cooper Rush for the next 4 games. And so this is going to be an interesting situation. If Cooper Rush does play well in the absence of Dak for the short period of time that Prescott is out, there's going to be a lot of questions in regards to the Cowboys. What can you say about Dallas, the soap opera that never ends? My next storyline is going to be the Monday night matchup between the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks. Denver and Seattle, when the league schedule came out this summer, and when I saw this game as the first game on the Monday night schedule, I was so excited because you've got Russell Wilson, now the quarterback for the Denver Broncos, going up against his old team. He was traded several months before the league schedule had come out, and Denver and Seattle, week 1 on the first Monday night game of the year, I knew it was going to be something that was going to be must-see TV. I already knew it had the drama from the moment Russell and the Broncos marched onto the field. And what I thought was very classless and very tasteless, the Seattle fans booing him after he gave them his all for 10 great seasons in Seattle. Nevertheless, sometimes that's the way the ball bounces sometimes, and that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. People love you 1 minute, and they hate you the next minute. Nevertheless, Russell came in and played a solid game. Unfortunately, my gripe was with the head coach, Nathaniel Hackett. So you have over a minute and some change left in the fourth quarter. You let at least 40 seconds run down on the game clock, and then you call a timeout, and then you bring your kicker in to attempt a 64-yard field goal. He had a shot at it, but it just wasn't – he didn't have enough foot. He didn't have enough leg on that kick. Bottom line is this. Remember, the week before this Monday night game, Russell Wilson was given a massive extension. So when you give Russell – when you give a caliber quarterback like Russell Wilson this money and it's 4th and 5, you got to let him go for it. Number one, you let a quarterback that caliber of Russell Wilson, you allow him to make that decision to go for it. Or does he have that type of pull to go for it? Maybe he's trust Coach Hackett to make those decisions. But a quarterback like Russell Wilson should have got in the way and told Coach Hackett, you know what? I've got this. 4th and 5, this is manageable. We can make this happen. And number two, clock management was atrocious. You had over a minute and some change left in the final quarter, and clock precious time was just falling off of the clock. You let at least 40 seconds go by before you finally call a timeout. Lesson learned. Coach, they've got to work on this. This was just poor clock management towards the end. Was not good at all, and they've got to get better. Now, give credit to the Seattle Seahawks. Geno Smith played a solid game. Seattle's defense play was effective as well, even though Russell got over 340 yards and a touchdown pass. Give credit to Seattle. They took advantage of the opportunity and all of the emotion that came with this game. Seattle season, it remains to be seen, but I think Denver will bounce back. They'll get better from this, but they've got to learn to let Russell cook, give him time to do his thing, and Coach Nathaniel Hackett has got to remember that the clock management has got to get better. But what a Monday night game it was. For my final storyline is going to be kickers. John Madden once said that kickers are people too. Yes, kickers are people, and kickers make all of the difference in the world in the NFL. We know the quarterback is the most important position in the NFL, but the kicker can be the most respected and the most disrespected position in the NFL. The Pittsburgh Steelers and Cincinnati Bengals game that went to overtime, we had both kickers for Cincinnati. Evan McPherson missed a field goal. Chris Boswell missed a field goal during the overtime period. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, McPherson missed two field goals during the overtime period. Boswell had missed one, and then Chris was able to nail a 53-yard field goal for the Steelers to give the Steelers a win in overtime. In the Cleveland Browns game, Cade York was successful by making the game-winning field goal for the Browns, kicking a 58-yarder to give Cleveland the win over the Carolina Panthers, 26-24. And this set the NFL record for the longest field goal by a rookie in his team's first game. So congratulations to Cade on that. He was named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. While Cade was being celebrated, and while Cleveland and Pittsburgh while Pittsburgh and Cincinnati were trading missed field goals, the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts battled to a tie at 20. Colts kicker Rodrigo Blankenship had missed a field goal in overtime to win the game for the Colts. Matter of fact, that was so bad that during the week, the Colts released Rodrigo Blankenship. So the Colts are currently looking for a kicker right now. And all I can say is this, man, you know, Rodrigo had always been pretty automatic for the Colts during the during his short time with the team. Now, Chase McLaughlin is on the practice squad. Most likely, Chase is going to become the kicker for the Colts for the time being. And then in the New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons game, Will Lutz missed the chip shot field goal in the first half of the game. And then Younghoe Koo had an opportunity to try to win the game for the Falcons. His field goal was blocked. And then in the New York Giants and the Tennessee Titans game, Randy Bullock had a chance to make a 47-yard field goal to win the game. That didn't happen. He missed that one, and Bullock has known to be one of the pretty consistent kickers in the league. So it's week one already, and we've seen field goal kickers play up and down, not playing at their best. We've already seen one kicker be released, and again, as I stated earlier, that's Rodrigo Blankenship from the Indianapolis Colts. This is only week one, and as the season goes on and as the weather gets colder, the weather gets more fierce, field goal kickers are going to play a big role in teams attempting to win games. It's got to get better, and, you know, like John Madden once said, kickers are people too. Indeed, they are people, and those people got to get it together, because if not, they'll be at home looking for their next job. All right, when we come back from the break, I have an interview with Sheriff Joe Baggs. He is the host of the Rams Showcase podcast. The podcast is dedicated to highlighting Los Angeles Rams content. We discuss the Rams winning the Super Bowl, takeaways from the Rams game against the Buffalo Bills, the keys to victory for the Rams to beat the Atlanta Falcons in week two of the 2022 NFL season, and much more. Joe is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the League Wraparound.
You covered with their huge tire sale blowout with 6 months same as cash on all tires. Brands you love like Nexen, Lexani, Predator, all in stock and ready. Get a set of four installed today for as little as $20 down and $20 per week. And you never need credit. Mention this ad and get 6 months same as cash. Rule the road for less at Street King. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
When you make more of your home with Valspar, you want to keep doing more. Like maybe you want to make your powder room more colorful, or make your basement more waterproof, or make your exterior more Mother Nature proof, or make your driveway more protected, or make your deck look more barbecue worthy, or make your curb appeal more curb appealing. Whatever project is next on your list, Valspar makes all the products and tools to help you make more of it. Valspar, made for more, available at Lowe's.
That's Suma IPA, made with local Satsumas. How local?
Wow, the groom looks great.
He does. Never seen a Saints jersey with tails.
Local as black and gold everything. Try Datsuma IPA from Faubourg Brewery.
Your home says a lot about you. Give it Behr Dynasty Interior Paint. It's our most stain-repellent, scuff-resistant interior paint ever. Today, let's paint with Behr, America's most trusted paint brand. Ranked most trusted paint brand based on the 2022 Life Story Research Study.
Street King's got you covered with their huge tire sale blowout with 6 months same as cash on all tires. Brands you love like Nexen, Lexani, Predator, all in stock and ready. Get a set of four installed today for as little as $20 down and $20 per week. And you never need credit. Mention this ad and get 6 months same as cash. Rule the road for less at Street King. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
Today, banking looks much different. But at Patterson State Bank, our passion to serve our community and customers has remained number one. With three convenient locations and high-tech technologies to serve you, Patterson State Bank is banking done with care. Find out more at PattersonStateBank.com.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this. But with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
What's that place you've always wanted to try?
Well, you're there. Sharing plates with...
just one bite.
Or on second thought, maybe not sharing. It's that good. When you're with Amex, it's not if it's going to happen, but when. American Express. Don't live life without it.
Deep on this defensive line.
Stafford going quick again. A bad pass intercepted. Dane Jackson with it. They rule him down by contact at the 33. 43. Stafford Richard coming high, and it's intercepted. Off the deflection, it's one of those safeties. Jordan Poyer with the pick. The second of Stafford tonight. This is deflected in the air, a third interception. Into the hands of Boogie Basham.
Yeah, we definitely we can play a whole lot better than that. I know that. As disappointing as tonight is, you never want to start the season away that way. It really doesn't matter if it's the first game, last game, whatever it is. You want to win them all. Didn't accomplish that goal tonight. Didn't play well enough to do it. I thought our defense played great in the first half. They get us turnovers like that. We got to do something better with the football, capitalize with it, get more points out of those. Obviously I can't give it to them in some of those instances. But, overall execution and just our capability of playing better, there's a whole lot more there. So the one thing that gives me a good feeling is knowing the guys in that locker room and knowing how we're going to, all band together, look at each other, look inward first and go, hey, what can I do to be better for the guy next to me? That starts with our head coach. He's always preaching that to us. And that's real stuff for us as players. That's how we act. And we believe in that locker room.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. That first audio that you heard was Los Angeles Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford throwing three interceptions in the loss against the Buffalo Bills in the 2022 NFL kickoff season opener from September the 8th of 2022. And then the last audio bite that you heard was Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford just talking about their defense playing well early in the game, but just things going downhill from there. But also said that, you know, they'll work on that. They'll clean up the mistakes and they'll be ready for their next game against the Atlanta Falcons. To talk more about this game, the Rams' upcoming game against the Falcons, we want to welcome him back to the program. This gentleman is the host of the Rams Showcase podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome him back to the program, Sheriff Joe Baggs. Hey, Joe, welcome back, my man.
Hey, thanks for having me again, man. It's good to be back.
Same here, man. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Before we go into further detail about the takeaways from the Rams game against the Bills and the upcoming game for the Rams against Falcons, let's go back to that magical ride last year with the Rams winning the Super Bowl with the key acquisitions at the trade deadline with Odell Beckham Jr. and, of course, Von Miller and, of course, Aaron Donald and, of course, getting the big fish in the pond with Matthew Stafford. What were your takeaways from the Rams winning the Super Bowl and beating the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yeah, well, you know, the playoff run kind of felt a little storybook on our end. Of course, at that time of adding Von Miller, Odell Beckham Jr., kind of just felt like the Rams were going for it. And after a winless November, you know, that start of our December after that big win over the Jacksonville Jaguars at home, just kind of felt like this team was just going to be on a little bit of a roll from there. And yeah, going all the way through that playoff run was absolutely incredible. You beat the Arizona Cardinals pretty handily. Then, you know, the defending champs with Tom Brady in their house, and then getting that monkey off your back against the San Francisco 49ers, who had beaten you six straight times to make it all the way to the Super Bowl. You get that home atmosphere against the Bengals team, who had quite the run themselves. I mean, just kind of, it felt like such a perfect storybook season, especially on the perspective of the Rams fans, of course. But, yeah, that was a great season. It all kind of started way back in the previous January. You're right, though, with getting Matthew Stafford. That was a total game changer for the Rams.
Indeed it was, and it was definitely a magical season last year for the Los Angeles Rams winning the Super Bowl in their home stadium. So now let's talk about the defending champions in the kickoff opener, Bills. I know it was not the result that you wanted in this one, but, man, give it to Buffalo, man. They came and they played the Rams tough in their home stadium. What were your takeaways from the Rams game against the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, well, immediately, I mean, you said it there of, like, the Buffalo Bills. I mean, it felt like a combination of both the Buffalo Bills playing well and the Los Angeles Rams just not really getting it all together. Really, the only bright spot for the Rams was Cooper Kupp and that connection between Stafford and Kupp, which has been obviously incredible for quite some time. But offensive line definitely struggled, run game struggled, defense struggled. So all over, it just really just wasn't the Rams' day. And I don't know what kind of goes into that, what emotions were necessarily involved. But what I can say that kind of mimics the comment that were previously stated right here from Matthew Stafford were, knowing this team, knowing this locker room, I'm not necessarily, you know, raising any alarms just based off of that game. We know the Buffalo Bills are a favorite to win the Super Bowl. They've been in that conversation all offseason, and now they are definitely going to be in that conversation. So it's not a season ender to lose week one to such a powerful team. But of course you got to kind of look at yourself a little bit, and especially with the injuries that the Rams saw, a couple of guys banged up along that front offensive line. That's something you got to look at. But overall, I think this team, with the experience that is here, the veterans that we have on this team, I wouldn't say that that first game defines how this season will go for the LA Rams. I think it'll still be a pretty fun one.
I want to stay just with this game for a moment. During the offseason and really through much of the preseason, Matthew Stafford and his health, the elbow. Do you think his elbow is hurt seriously, or do you think it's just a minor bump in the road and he's going to be fine for the remainder of the year?
You know, that's a really tough question to answer, actually. And this kind of gives us a little bit of the shades of the Todd Gurley time, when all reports out of the Rams were that the knee was totally fine. He's good to go. Don't worry about it. He's healthy. And then we see it on the field. There's some struggles there. So that is like the immediate thought that comes to your head of like, well, how healthy is he? All that we're hearing is from the team that he's good to go. And we've heard that before. So I would say kind of maybe I'm not going to jump to any conclusions right now and say he's definitely not healthy enough to play this season or anything, but it is definitely something that I'm looking at pretty closely as we get these next few games. Of course, we got the Falcons at home this week and then two division road games back-to-back right after that. So we should know decently soon if that actually is something to be concerned about or not.
Yeah, definitely, because, I mean, as we get down the stretch of Stafford, you know, if it comes down to it, it has to get into a shootout, or if his elbow starts getting sore, there's definitely going to be some cause for concern. But a lot of, not just Rams fans, but a lot of football fans are cautiously optimistic about Matthew Stafford. And, you know, with that elbow injury as we continue on with this season. So let's concentrate on the Rams' next opponent, the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons, let's just say they're upset about what happened in week one. They had a commanding lead against their NFC South rival, New Orleans Saints. They fumbled the bag, as they say, and Jameis Thomas and Jarvis Landry, Will Lutz kicks the game-winning field goal from behind victory. So the Falcons are definitely going to be, have been eating sour grapes this whole week, and now they march into Inglewood to take on the Rams. I got to ask you, Joe, what do you think are going to be the keys to victory for the Rams to beat the Atlanta Falcons?
Well, I think opening up holes in the running game, just controlling it, because, of course, you know, we all kind of surface level, you look, it's Rams versus Falcons. The Rams are kind of clearly the better football team here, but you can't really account for any kind of emotions or anything. So you're right. Coming off of that loss, I mean, how pumped are they going to be to show that that's not who they are? But this Rams team coming off that their loss themselves, I mean, it's kind of a battle of who wants to prove it more. But with this Atlanta Falcons team, you got to be able to control that clock and keep Patterson and Mariota, those guys, off the field. So that's what I would definitely like to see as far as the offense goes, is just seeing that run game get a little bit stronger, a little bit more stout. We didn't see Cam Akers a lot in week one. Darrell Henderson really couldn't get it going either. And then on the other side, I just mentioned Patterson. You're going to want to stop that guy. I mean, he's pretty good, and when he's rolling on the ground, they can definitely eat up that clock, just pick up those easy third downs, and that's frustrating when you're trying to get your powerful offense back on the field, and you're dealing with a guy like that who can keep moving the chains.
I want to say you mentioned about two of the key elements on Atlanta's offense, Marcus Mariota and Cordarrelle Patterson. Also, you can add Kyle Pitts to the mix as well. The New Orleans Saints defense had problems with those guys for much of the game, but they were able to kind of get it together towards the end, and for the Saints and able to come from behind to beat the Falcons. Aaron Donald, what can we say about him? A three-time league defensive player of the year. Also, you've got Leonard Floyd, Jalen Ramsey. Those guys are alphas. They're talented and they're very prideful individuals. Do you expect that Rams defense to do a lot of blitz packages in order for Mariota to stay in the pocket and try to make plays in the pocket, as well as the same for stopping Patterson and Pitts?
You know, that's kind of hard to answer at this point, simply because of Raheem Morris. How he started the season last year was pretty soft, and then as the season went on, especially into December, January, that's when we saw the defense get a lot more stout. So I would like to see, because we did see it against Buffalo, just a really kind of soft, laid-back defense, try to keep everything in front of you, and it kind of bit the Rams there. So, you mentioned Kyle Pitts. That's obviously a strong weapon there, but safeties should be able to participate in that. But Taylor Rapp simply has to just play better football than he did in week one. I think he was really the weakest link of that L.A. Rams defense specifically, but I mean, either way, this is going to be a tough game. I think that the Falcons are not necessarily getting enough credit for the weapons that they do have available. Overall, yes, the Rams are a better football team, but like I said, that's it's kind of out the window once emotions get involved. But either way, it should be a tight one. I want to stay with the Rams.
Sure. I want to stay just with the Rams defense for a moment. The newest Ram, Bobby Wagner. Do you think Bobby's going to have more of an impact in this game against the Falcons, since rely, of course, on Patterson and his running and catching, and, of course, Mariota with his athletic ability?
Yeah, well, Wagner, I think, will, as the season goes on, I think that we'll see Wagner's impact a little bit more throughout the throughout the season. So, yeah, I expect him to have a bigger impact this week, and just being able to call out those different positions, you know. And I have a lot of gripes about certain calls that Raheem Morris makes, and I'm hoping that Bobby Wagner can kind of help prevent some of those. Like, we even saw it in week one where you had your best pass rusher in Leonard Floyd, some reason in coverage covering Stephon Diggs on a third down, and that kind of stuff just can't happen. So Bobby Wagner is exactly who I hope can prevent those kind of situations, because you obviously don't want to burn a timeout. That was a third quarter play that I'm referencing. But what's better, keeping the timeout or preventing a first down? So those are the kind of positions I would hope that Bobby Wagner can have a huge impact on.
You know, within the Saints-Falcons game, we saw that fourth quarter where Jameis Winston just went off, and we saw Jarvis Landry make some key catches. Chris Olave made some key catches. And, of course, Michael Thomas got back to his top form in that contest, secondary, in those last minutes in that fourth quarter. Do we see Cooper Kupp and especially Allen Robinson, do we see those guys, and, of course, Tyler Higbee, do we see them, and, of course, with Matthew Stafford, do you think we see those guys really have a come-from-behind game in this game?
I mean, it can absolutely happen. The Rams absolutely have the firepower to do it. Of course, you want to see Robinson get a little bit more involved than just two targets on it for one catch. Higbee, of course, is a big part of this offense, but Cooper Kupp can kind of do it all. And the Rams, as a Rams fan watching the game, it very rarely feels like the Rams are out of it if it's at least decently close, especially when you have my Stafford to Kupp has been already a pretty historic connection as far as the Rams franchise goes. So, yeah, you never really feel like you're out of it when those guys can get rolling.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He is Sheriff Joe Bags. He is the host of the Rams Showcase podcast. Well, Joe, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody about what you do on the podcast, and also where can people listen to it?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And thank you so much again for reaching out and having me back on. It's greatly appreciated. I'm all over social media at Sheriff Joe Bags. And I also have accounts for the podcast at Rams Showcase just about everywhere. We have a YouTube channel that is probably what gets the most attention right now as far as the video version of the podcast, but it is available anywhere, wherever you're listening to podcasts. You can just search Rams Showcase. It pops up right there. So give a follow, give a listen. We break down every game after the fact, and then we also dive into game previews all year. And we only take a little bit of a gap there in the off season, so it's ultimately a year-round show as well.
Awesome. One more time, Joe, tell everybody where they can find you on social media as well as Rams Showcase. And again, where can people listen to the Rams Showcase podcast?
Yeah, I'm at Sheriff Joe Bags. The show is at Rams Showcase. You can follow anywhere that you listen to your favorite podcast or streaming up on YouTube as well.
Awesome. And you heard it from me, Sheriff Joe Bags, the host of the Rams Showcase podcast. Check him out on social media. And, of course, if you want to listen to the Rams Showcase podcast, listen to wherever you get your podcast, whether it be Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher, or just some of the various outlets, and, of course, the YouTube channel as well. Joe, thank you so much, my man. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Yeah, we definitely we can play a whole lot better than that. I know that, as disappointing as tonight is, you never want to start the season away that way. It really doesn't matter if it's the first game, last game, whatever it is. You want to win them all. Didn't accomplish that goal tonight. Didn't play well enough to do it. I thought our defense played great in the first half. They get us turnovers like that. We got to do something better with the football, capitalize with it, get more points out of those. Obviously I can't give it to them in some of those instances. But, you know, overall execution and just our capability of playing better, there's a whole lot more there. So the one thing that gives me, you know, a good feeling is knowing the guys in that locker room and knowing how we're going to, you know, all band together, look at each other, look inward first and go, hey, what can I do to be better for the guy next to me? That starts with our head coach. He's always preaching that to us, and you know, that's real stuff for us as players. That's how we act, and you know, we believe in that locker room.
You made it. Checked out of office to check into the sweet views of this place where the kids aren't asking for the Wi-Fi.
Mom, can we go to the pool?
And when you're with Amex, it's not if it's going to happen, but when. American Express. Don't live life without it.
Custom Ink is an awesome way to recognize employees, thank customers, and outfit your teams with their favorite products and brands customized with your logo. CustomInk.com lets you make your mark on water bottles, backpacks, polos, jackets, and a ton more. Custom Ink is your go-to custom gear partner with great customer service, quality products, and all-in pricing, along with personalized help when you need it and an easy-to-use website when you don't. Oh yeah, and everything is 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Check out what we can do for your business at CustomInk.com.
Street King's got you covered with their huge tire sale blowout with 6 months same as cash on all tires. Brands you love like Nexen, Lexani, Predator, all in stock and ready. Get a set of four installed today for as little as $20 down and $20 per week. And you never need credit. Mention this ad and get 6 months same as cash. Rule the road for less at Street King. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
Football is back, and BetMGM is inviting new customers to join the huddle and enjoy the action like never before. Sign up today using bonus code EASY1000, and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. You'll also have instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, player props, and boosted odds specials. Just download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code EASY1000 and place your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. The BetMGM app is the perfect way to experience the excitement of wagering on live sports, now in more markets than ever. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino.
They say to truly understand someone, you must walk a mile in their shoes. Well, at Lexus, we design the ES with you in mind every step of the way. From class-leading legroom to positioning the touchscreen 4 inches closer. Everything in the Lexus ES, a direct reflection of you. Click the banner to discover more. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
2022 ES versus 2021 2022 competitors. Information from manufacturers' websites as of 5/3/2021.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Sheriff Joe Baggs, host of the Rams Showcase podcast. Of course, the podcast is dedicated to highlighting Los Angeles Rams content. Again, big special thank you to Joe for giving us the current 411 on the Los Angeles Rams and their upcoming game this week against the Atlanta Falcons. All right, let's get right to it. We've got week two to talk about in the National Football League, and here are the most important games for week two in the 2022 NFL season. Let's start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Los Angeles Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. We know about the history of this rivalry between the Chargers and the Chiefs going back to the AFL, and it culminates right now to the present. Chargers and Chiefs, the NFL, we're in the quarterback era, and this game is going to be about the quarterbacks. Justin Herbert going up against Patrick Mahomes. First for the Chargers. The Chargers had a come-from-behind win over division rival Las Vegas Raiders last week. As for the Kansas City Chiefs, they had no problems handling their business, beating the Arizona Cardinals. So Justin Herbert appears to be in rare form. Patrick Mahomes, we know he's going to be in rare form as well. Remember, Mahomes got his contract extension just a couple of years ago. Justin Herbert is set to
get a contract extension whenever that day comes. However, for the Chargers, no Keenan Allen in this game. He's going to be out with a hamstring injury. However, the Chargers are going to have Jalen Guyton and some other quality receivers on their side. As for Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, hey, he's more than enough for Kansas City. But also they've got a nice supporting cast with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Also, you've got, of course, receivers Juju Smith-Schuster. Also, you got Mecole Hardman, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and you can't forget about the tight end, Travis Kelce. Defensively, the Chargers are going to pose some problems for the Chiefs. You've got Derwin James. You've got Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, who comes over to the L.A. Chargers in the trade from the Chicago Bears. So this is definitely, this team is really locked and loaded on the defensive side. Chargers and the Chiefs going to be an outstanding game. You've got two of the rising stars, not just in at the quarterback position, but in all of the NFL with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes. The L.A. Chargers and Kansas City, a classic rivalry that continues to be renewed. The next game that we have is the New England Patriots going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. For the New England Patriots, embarrassed last week by the Miami Dolphins, Mac Jones battled a back injury for much of the week. According to New England and head coach Bill Belichick, there aren't any problems in terms of his back injury. As for the Pittsburgh Steelers, T.J. Watt tore his pectoral muscle in the overtime win against the Cincinnati Bengals. The good news is that T.J. will be out for 6 weeks. Najee Harris suffered a foot injury. The good news is that Harris is expected to be ready to go for this game against New England. So the Patriots, tough times early right now in Foxborough at the quarterback position. However, for Pittsburgh, Mitch Trubisky, so far so good. He's doing a solid job at the quarterback position. Najee Harris is going to be ready to go at the running back position. As for Pittsburgh, you know, they have Chase Claypool. And then at the tight end position, Pat Freiermuth played a solid game in that overtime victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. So the New England Patriots going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Steelers' first home game of the season. It should be a rocking crowd, as always, in Pittsburgh. They love their sports, and they certainly love their NFL football. My next and most important game for week two will be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going up against the New Orleans Saints. A classic NFC South rivalry game. The Saints had a tough rivalry game last week against the Atlanta Falcons. In the last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, Jameis Winston showed up and showed out, completing passes to Jarvis Landry and, of course, to Michael Thomas. And then the Saints taking the lead 27-26. They blocked Younghoe Koo's field goal to give the Saints a close win 27-26 over the Falcons. So the Saints, for the second straight week in a row, they get another division rival, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay beating the Dallas Cowboys on a Sunday night, and Tom Brady didn't play his best game, but it was effective enough to take down the Dallas Cowboys. So now Tampa has another road game. Dallas, already a hostile environment. New Orleans is already a hostile environment, and that crowd is going to be rocking in the Saints' first home game of the season. So you've got Tom Brady, Leonard Fournette, you've got Mike Evans. Chris Godwin is expected to play in this game. The injury report saying that he's Coach Todd Bowles said during the week that Godwin's injury didn't appear to be serious, that he suffered in the Dallas game, and he should be good to go for the game against the Saints. So the Bucs seem to be in place. The Saints are going to have their guys in place for their first home game of the year. Jameis Winston, Jarvis Landry, Michael Thomas. Alvin Kamara suffered a rib injury in the game against the Falcons. Latavius Murray was signed this week to the practice squad, but Coach Dennis Allen said that Kamara is going to be good to go. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going up against the New Orleans Saints. Tom Brady has yet to beat the New Orleans Saints during the regular season as the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So will this be the year that he finally beats the Saints in the regular season as a Buccaneers quarterback, or will the Saints continue their dominance over Tampa Tom and the Bucs in the regular season? Tampa Bay and New Orleans, it's going to be a rocking one down in the Crescent City. My next most important game for week two is going to be the Seattle Seahawks going up against the San Francisco 49ers. First, for the 49ers, Trey Young and had an okay of a game, not the best game that a lot of 49ers fans were hoping for, but Trey got, you know, hopefully got got those early game jitters removed and, you know, got week one out of the system. Tough loss to the Chicago Bears. Not the best conditions in terms of weather, very rainy, but hopefully Trey can turn it around because they'll be heading to the Bay and playing in Santa Clara, home game of the season for the San Francisco 49ers. Now, Eli Mitchell, their key running back, their all-world running back that played, that came up big for them last year, is going to be out for a while with a serious knee injury, suffered an MCL sprain. So Trey Lance, not only will he'll be doing a lot of passing, but also he's going to be doing a lot more scrambling as well. And as far as the passing game is concerned, tight end George Kittle is questionable for this game. They say he may be able to play for this game, but the pressure is definitely going to fall on Trey Lance and, of course, San Francisco's defense. San Francisco's defense was solid last week against Chicago, but it wasn't enough for them to get them the win. Maybe they'll luck up this week against the visiting Seattle Seahawks in a rivalry game. Seattle riding a high right now, beating Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos on a thrilling Monday night game, and they're looking to take that momentum to the Bay Area at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. So Geno Smith riding a high right now, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, also the tight end Will Disley, and the Seahawks defense, they're definitely riding a major wave right now and hopefully continue to take into the Bay Area as the Seahawks battle their division rival, San Francisco 49ers. The next most important game that I've picked for week two is the Cincinnati Bengals going up against the Dallas Cowboys. First, for the Dallas Cowboys, as I mentioned at the top of the program, Dallas is the soap opera that never ends. Dak Prescott is going to be out for at least 4 weeks, suffered an injury to his right thumb in the Sunday night game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Zeke Elliott not looking like the Zeke of old. There's questions about him. This could be his last year with the Dallas Cowboys. Also, CeeDee Lamb just not consistent, had more than his share of a few targets in the Sunday night game against Tampa Bay and failed to show up on key plays. Dallas has another home game, but they're going up against a team that has had to deal with sour grapes all week long, and that's the Cincinnati Bengals. Losing a tough game to their AFC North rival Pittsburgh Steelers last week. Evan McPherson, hopefully he can turn it around. He missed some key field goals during the overtime period and before the end of regulation, had his extra point blocked that would have possibly won the game, for Cincinnati to beat the Steelers. But now they have to get over it. And a little bit of good news is that Dallas is not in a good state right now. Again, the quarterback situation, Dak is hurt. The team is not consistent. One key component for Dallas is Micah Parsons. Man, Micah Parsons, I tell you one thing. Now they say he could be the next Lawrence Taylor. We're seeing shades of that. That's a strong possibility. He could become the next Lawrence Taylor. In the meantime, that's a long ways. That's a long ways. But for right now, definitely the potential is there. But Cincinnati, they've got Joe Burrow. They've got Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon, no T. Higgins. But they've got those guys that I mentioned earlier. Those guys are definitely going to definitely make some waves out in Dallas for this big one between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Dallas Cowboys. So Cooper Rush will make his first start of the 2022 NFL season. And let's see, Cincinnati's defense was solid last week against Pittsburgh. Let's see if Cooper can have the tough task of trying to score points and get downs against this Bengal defense. We've got the Sunday night matchup between the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. First for Green Bay, embarrassed by their NFC North rival, Minnesota Vikings. You can see the chemistry was not there between quarterback Aaron Rodgers and his young receivers. They've got to get that chemistry together, and they're going to be playing in front of a worldwide audience on Sunday Night Football at Lambeau Field, the first home game of the season for the Packers. Green Bay going up against their NFC North rival, Chicago Bears. Justin Fields played a solid game last week. Also, you've had the Chicago defense come through for the Chicago defense come through in the win against the 49ers. But, you know, it's always a hostile environment when the Bears visit Lambeau Field. Aaron Rodgers, he's got it on his mind. I'm expecting a great game from him. Bears-Packers on Sunday night, what more can you ask for at Lambeau Field? We've got a doubleheader on Monday Night Football. First, the Tennessee Titans going up against the Buffalo Bills. First for Tennessee, losing a tough game at home to the New York Giants. Randy Bullock missed a 47-yard field goal at the end of regulation to give the Giants the win. Ryan Tannehill was solid in that game. You know Derrick Henry was going to act a fool in that game. That was not even a question right there. But Tennessee losing a tough one while Buffalo handled its business going out to Southern California, beating the defending champion Los Angeles Rams. Josh Allen, that's all I can say. Josh Allen, phenomenal. Stephon Diggs, phenomenal. Can't forget about the supporting cast with Gabe Davis and Isaiah McKenzie, just to name a few. And then on the defensive side, my goodness, Von Miller. Von Miller is a stud, and then some. Von Miller has so far, I know we've only played 1 week in the NFL, but so far so good. He has paid off big dividends for this Bills defense. And then whenever Tre'Davious White returns, Buffalo's defense is going to be even better. So when Von Miller, when he set the tone for the Bills win over the Rams, the whole defense followed suit as well. So it's going to be a great game on Monday night as a lot of Bills fans, first home game of the year for Buffalo. They're going to be circling the wagons, and they're definitely going to be out in full force, crashing tables and just doing all sorts of silly stuff as the Tennessee Titans battle the Buffalo Bills. And then we have the second game of the Monday night doubleheader, and that's between the Minnesota Vikings going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. First for Minnesota, big win over their NFC North rival Green Bay Packers, over their NFC North rival Green Bay Packers in week one. Kirk Cousins, what a game that he had, but also can't forget about one of the rising stars in the NFL, Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson showed up and showed out in this game, just beating down on that Green Bay secondary. And then Dalvin Cook contributed as well. But how about the Vikings defense with the likes of Danielle Hunter, Harrison Smith, and, of course, Za'Darius Smith, the former Green Bay Packer. So Minnesota shined bright on both ends of the ball. And how about the Philadelphia Eagles? Defensively, didn't play a great game against Detroit. However, offensively, they did a great job. Jalen Hurts did his thing, not only passing the ball, but also running as well. You know, Jalen is a dual-threat quarterback, and certainly that helps in today's NFL on the offensive side throughout the course of this season. So we've got a great one on the second half, the second game of the Monday night doubleheader between the Minnesota Vikings and the Philadelphia Eagles, first home game of the year in Philadelphia. And you know, not just how Philadelphia fans are in football, but just Philadelphians love their sports. They're diehard, and they expect a great game. And it's going to be a good one between the Minnesota Vikings and the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday night. All right, when we come back from the break, I'll have my game of the week. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the League Wraparound.
The aesthetic could be some kind of food allergy.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
It happened like that, a full-blown asthma attack. It was scary.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
a fever, headaches. I have these red, itchy welts.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
A reaction triggered by cockroach allergens.
Bed bugs.
Threats to your health can come from the most unexpected places. Mosquitoes can transmit West Nile virus and also Zika virus. Ticks can carry Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And allergens from cockroaches can trigger asthma attacks, leading to respiratory distress. Don't wait until you or someone you love is suffering with unexplained symptoms. Get the facts you need to protect your family. Visit pestworld.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. It's now time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the second game in the Monday night doubleheader between the Minnesota Vikings and the Philadelphia. The Minnesota Vikings are playing in a tough division in the NFC North. We have the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. And Detroit, you know, Detroit has had their struggles for quite some time, but they always have been a spoiler from time to time. The Philadelphia Eagles are a team that shined bright during this offseason, acquiring wide receiver A.J. Brown from the Tennessee Titans in a trade in this past April's NFL draft. They acquired Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in a trade from New Orleans just actually less than 2 weeks before the season started. And, of course, with the Eagles in year three, Jalen Hurts. Hurts is someone that is expected to gain a big contract, if not at the end of the year, definitely at the beginning of next season. For the Minnesota Vikings, Kirk Cousins, in the middle of a fully guaranteed contract that he signed less than 3 years ago, so the pressure is on for him in Minnesota. With the Vikings, you've got Justin Jefferson. Justin, one of the rising stars in the NFL, somebody that is not just good, he's great, and he's very electric, and he can cause matchup problems not just with his speed, but with his route running and just his great catching ability. For the Philadelphia Eagles, I mentioned earlier about A.J. Brown, but you also can't forget about Jalen Hurts' former teammate at Alabama, Devontae Smith, someone who could definitely make plays happen at any given time. As far as defense is concerned, Minnesota, their defense is on point right now with the likes of Danielle Hunter, of course, Harrison Smith. You've also got Patrick Peterson. And during the offseason, making big moves by signing free agents Jordan Hicks and also Za'Darius Smith. Philly, as I mentioned earlier, acquiring C.J. Gardner-Johnson in the trade. Also, you get Hassan Reddick, acquired him from the Arizona Cardinals. Also, you get Josh Sweat, who played in Washington. Of course, bringing back Brandon Graham, and of course, you have Fletcher Cox. This game is going to be definitely phenomenal on a Monday night in Philadelphia. And you know how Philadelphia sports fans are. They are not to be played with at all. They love their sports, and especially they love their football, and they love their Eagles. We've got Kirk Cousins, someone who is a pocket passer, someone that is your quintessential old-school quarterback, going up against a quarterback that is fighting to prove that he can be the future of a franchise, and that's Jalen Hurts being a dual-threat quarterback. This is going to be so incredible. This is going to be an outstanding game on Monday night. The Minnesota Vikings versus the Philadelphia Eagles, my game of the week. All right, before we get on out of here, I'm going to give you my picks on who I think will win the most important games for week two in the NFL. Let's start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Los Angeles Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. I like Kansas City to win that game. The New England Patriots going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Going to be a great one and a close one down in New Orleans between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints. But I like Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win this one. The Seattle Seahawks going up against the San Francisco 49ers. I like Trey Lance and the 49ers to bounce back to beat Seattle. Should be a good game down in Jerry World in Arlington, Texas between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Dallas Cowboys. I like Cincinnati to bounce back and win that game. The Sunday night matchup between the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. Going to be a good one, but I like Aaron Rodgers and the Packers to bounce back in that game. The first game of the Monday night doubleheader between the Tennessee Titans and the Buffalo Bills. I like Buffalo to continue their winning streak. And my game of the week, the second game of the Monday night doubleheader, the Minnesota Vikings going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. I like the Eagles to win in a close one. So here are my winners for this week's most important games in week two. I like Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Cincinnati, Green Bay, Buffalo, and Philadelphia. There you go. Those are my picks for the most important games for week two in the NFL. That's going to do it for this edition of the program. Once again, I want to send a big special thank you to Sheriff Joe Baggs, host of the Rams Showcase podcast. The podcast is dedicated to highlighting Los Angeles Rams content. Again, a big thank you to him for appearing on the program. And until next time, everybody,
I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to the League Wraparound.